Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a Saturday morning, July the 11th, 2015. That's what this satsang is for. It's made available to you by the kind and loving people who are sponsors of this website, of this work, of all the things I do, allowing me to go to hospice, hospital calls. Oh, golly, podcasts, videocasts, these satsangs, TV programs, they support it all. And I hope that one day you will become a sponsor and help them and me make these offerings possible to you every week. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that I can afford to do this. So I hope you will become very generous and kind and see the value of what I'm doing here. I ask for questions and I get them, and they come from all over. Actually, I ask people to tell me where they're listening to me from, and very few do. I don't know. It's a personal thing. It's fine. I'm grateful for the questions. I'm just curious about where people listen to us from. And if you don't want me to use your name and you don't want me to tell where you live, that is fine too. I am more interested in serving you than all of that, but I am curious, I have to say. So if it's ever within your heart, let me know. Today we're going to be working on willfulness. Ooh, this is a difficult subject, a very difficult one, because a lot of us are very willful people. You can't separate many people from this willfulness. So I'm going to be offering to you today some questions, three questions based on this subject. I hope I am able to help the people who so generously wrote in. The first one comes from Grant, and he lives in Colorado. That's where he says, I want peace in my life. I want a family. I want a good job that pays well. I am absolute about this, and I want to get it as soon as possible. Can your philosophy help me attain to this, Grant? Oh, Grant, please grant me a little help here from you. I am not teaching a philosophy here. I am not offering a religion here. I am trying to invoke in you an awakening. My job, my place in your life is not to help you get what you want. Now, this is what ministers do. And this is what, I guess, motivational speakers do. I am not Zig Ziglar. You might want to take a look at something else in your life rather than me. I am not here as a philosophical salesman. I am here to offer a certain thing to you. Something that you can only get when you've had enough of the things you want. When you are sick and tired of your sick and tiredness. When you are no longer interested in the sickness that drives you to want the things you want, that is when I become useful. Until then, I am useless to you and to most people. For people to come and be with me, they have to go through a lot of crap. They have to have been through a lot of life experiences that are very difficult, that are very uncomfortable. You have to be the kind of person that lives not for what you can get, but can see the error of the way. As Lao Tzu said in the Tao Te Ching, you have to be sick of your own sickness. And evidently, Grant, you're not there yet. You're just not there yet. And that's okay. I have no problem with it. It's just that you're sniffing around the wrong place. Where you need to go is probably to a motivational speaker or some minister that is into how to get what you want type of thing. And that is okay by me. And you have to do what you need to do. You say, I want peace in my life. Well, you're not going to find peace by getting what you want, family, a good job, etc. All those things are going to wreak nothing but havoc in your life because, well, what did Jesus say? Unless a man hates his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, even his own lands, he cannot be my disciple. Ouch. No one wants to hear that. The word hate in the Aramaic means to put away. So it isn't what we think of as hate. But until a person is willing to put all that away, you know, it's just not going to happen. And then you've got the good job. What is a good job? I wonder what a good job is to you. I don't know your definition. I would imagine, and I'm probably assuming, hopefully incorrectly, but probably spot on, that you want to be paid well for doing something you believe you do well. That's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to think that that's the way it is. Now, for a lot of people, Grant, people want to be paid well for doing as little as possible. And that seems to be the disconnect that a lot of people have in this world. I rarely see people do well in their jobs. You go to the bank or you go to a store or whatever, and all you ever hear is, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And then you wonder, well, what are you being paid for? You know, what are you doing? You go into whole paycheck and, you know, Whole Foods, I'm sorry. And it's very expensive, and you want to ask them about something that you are thinking of purchasing, and most of them don't know. They don't care. I see that everywhere, from the post office, you see that there, all the way around. Even when I'm at the hospital and working there, I see a lot of people, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. What do you know? People don't care. And you see, Grant, it's really important that you care. Not care for the sake of, shall we say, doing well in your job, but care for the sake of helping people. Any job you get will be merciful. Any job you get will be there to help you to help others. No matter what job you get, everything we do affects another person, affects many different people. So what we want to do is to be able to do the things that affect people in the most loving, kind, and compassionate way possible. I do this radio program not because I'm going to, so to speak, get anything out of you. You're not the type of person that's going to write a check out and make a donation. You're just not going to do it. It's not in your tumbler. But I am here to serve you. You came to me, you listened to my programs, yada yada yada. So here I am trying to help you to help yourself. And you ask me a question, and I'm doing the very best, believe it or not, that I can to help you understand I'm not the guy for you. I'm not the guy for a lot of people. Why? Because, frankly, Grant, you're upside down. You're looking at what should be last and trying to make it first and trying to make what is first last. The state of your heart, the state of your soul, the state of your being should be in question here. Not the state of your desires, your ambition, your pride, your vanity. Not your sense of security or wanting to survive. That can't be a part of it. Now, if it is, then you're missing, and I will never be able to help you. You're looking for methods and schemes and strategies that will help you get what you want and live the life you believe maybe a successful person should live, or a good person, or whatever. I'm not that guy. I'm just not that guy. I'm not here to help you have a better life in this world. I'm here to help you understand the life you live and what this is all about in the life you choose to live, your karma, your existence, your livingness. And to help you understand that everything you do matters, that everything you do is about the meaning of your life, to help you understand the essence of it all. And if I can help you understand that, if I can help you come to the place of that, then something beautiful can start to unfold. But right now, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I wish you well in your journey. I do. And here's what I wish for you, that you get everything in this life you want. That you find that no matter what you do, how many friends, family, how much money, etc., you have, that the whole object is, as Lao Tzu said, to wear out and become new. And when that has touched your life and you have come to that place where you understand the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment, that's when you will understand what I'm talking about. And then someone like myself can help you. But typically, this takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes. I wish you well, dear one. Please forgive me, Grant. Namaste. Everybody wants this quick fix, this get me to nirvana fast. And nirvana to most people is getting what they want and having what they believe they deserve. And it goes on and on and on and on. And it never really matters much. It never comes to flourishing because there you are, no matter where you go, there you are. There you are. There you are. There you are. It is a very serious point to try to change yourself and your life via circumstance. I want to warn all of you, and I want you to understand this. We've all tried it. I've tried it. Everybody's tried it. To live our life and change ourselves and improve ourselves via circumstance. That means you get more money, you get a better job, you get a more of a this and more of a that. But it is very important for you to understand that no matter what you have in the world, it will never be enough to have what you are. You will never find out how beautiful you truly are, how deeply exquisite this life is, and how you are one with this beautiful life. The biggest mistake we make is thinking that our lifestyle is our life. Very big error. Can't keep people from it, but it is a very big error. Next question comes from Frances. She does not tell me where she lives. I believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's not vengeance, Mr. Penn. It is justice. Do you agree, Frances? No, I do not agree at all. I guess people call me a pacifist, a liberal, or whatever. I don't know what they call me. They call me many things, none of which are very kind or spot on. But no, Francis, I can't go down that street with you. I just can't. It is the sickness of our society to think that vengeance is going to change anything. I don't remember where the statistic came that capital punishment does not influence people who are going to commit crimes or kill one another. It doesn't change anything. They simply do what they're going to do anyway. So I'm kind of the mind that we need therapy. And in many cases, people can't function in our society as sick as it is. They're even sicker than that. And every one of us, one way or another, is a product of society. So when you have a society that does what it does and thinks that it has the right to do whatever it wants called freedom, and we find people doing heinous acts and stupid crimes and killing people. And this is a part of what it is to have a quote-unquote free society. We're not free. None of us are free. We pay enormous taxes. We pay an enormous karma bill, as it were, for the kind of things that ensure our safety in this world and in this country. There's many, many different things about us that are very painful, and we just go on and on and on. But you have to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, as the master said. and it is a part of living in this world. It just is. So it doesn't go away because I want it to go away or I think it should go away. It is there because it is there. And that's all there is to it. Now, what I want to do with that there is up to me. You know what I mean? I mean, what do I want to do with all of this? Do I just want to hate it? Do I want to share it? Do I want to deal with it? How do I want to deal with my world? Francis, you say you believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is the pedestrian mentality. It looks like you're protecting your loved ones or yourself. It looks like the threat is there. But come to find out that people don't who are going to commit crimes and do stupid things that are unkind and violent don't think in terms of, well, golly, if I do this, then I could get caught and I could get killed. It's a crime of passion, of emotion. And what the problem is our emotionality. The crime is secondary to the emotions that cause it. And few of us ever want to truly see this. We don't want to understand that. We want to think that we're either above it or that it doesn't apply to us or whatever. That's what we like to think. But it is not true. It is not true. As long as I am living emotionally, I am going to draw to myself those things that are emotional. And I'm going to have great problems with all of that. Justice. Let's talk a little bit about that. What denotes justice? Who is to say what is just? Who's to say? The law of the land, the courts, the Constitution, etc., etc. These are moral laws we've had to put into place because we live so immorally on the inside of ourselves. Imagine if there were no laws. What would people do? We'd be carrying guns with us, and the guy with the biggest gun, the fastest gun, would be the one who would get all the respect and all of the stuff, and we just don't want that. So we're really caught in that catch-22, where there is no love, there is no beauty. Where there is no beauty, there is no what you would call justice, and I would call just common sense, compassion. Looking at people and thinking in terms of how do I help them, not how do I hurt them? How do I get from them what I want? What did Jesus say? If someone slaps you on your cheek, give them your other cheek. What did he say? Not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Love ye one another as I have loved you. None of these things make any sense at all to the person who has violently been treated or has had family members violently treated. And there are few people who would be willing to forgive any or all of that. And I understand that. I truly do. I get why people think that way. But it doesn't change anything, does it? We're still in pain. We're still in sorrow. No matter how much vengeance a person gets, it isn't going to be enough. It just isn't. The sorrow of the loss and of the whole thing is over the top. And we have to learn to live with whatever has happened and understand where it came from in us. The hate I feel for someone, Francis, who may hurt you, is no different than the person that hurt you. I become one with them. And what have I gained? Absolutely nothing. So, how do you teach repentance? How do you teach remorse? You can't. And that's the problem, Francis. You can't. We've had great teachers and masters come into this beautiful world to teach us the way, and we've ignored it for the most part. For the most part, we just don't care. We don't listen. We don't really want to understand. We just hear what they have to say and go, wow, that's a great philosophy, and then go on with our emotionality. The problem in this country, in our life, in our world, is the emotionality that drives us to be the kind of people we are. And we're always on the edge of something, some kind of mischief, always, always, always. I don't have the answers to the world and for it. No one does. It has to come from within you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The answers that would really help us are not the ones that the masses can live with. They just can't live with them. They can't do them. It's really interesting. K is the last question for the day. How can I impress upon my kids the need for morality? They seem to be so immoral to me. Kay, I don't know what you call moral, and I don't know what your kids are doing that makes you think that they're acting immorally. I don't know. Okay, so I'm in the dark here, but I chose your question because it's kind of interesting. Like the question that Francis had about vengeance, who is to say what justice is and who is to say what morality is? I don't know. Now, I have done a lot of things in my life that people could look at and say, well, that was immoral. Well, that wasn't right. Well, that wasn't just. And I'm sure the same thing could be said of you or anyone on this planet. Well, you did that. That's immoral. You did that. That's not right. Who's to say? Who is to say? And how do you know? And I have a hard time with all that stuff that people do and say and tell me about and inform me about others and myself. So I don't go there much and I don't do that kind of silliness. But I'll tell you this, teach your children love. And the way you teach your children love is to be the love that you want your children to emulate, to be the love that you want them to experience. If I had kids, I would want them to experience the beauty of love within themselves. I wouldn't want them running around and thinking it was all around them, because in the society and the culture we have, it isn't. But it does exist within them. Teach your children meditation. Teach your children loving kindness. You need to homeschool them a little bit, shall we say, in the art of living kind, living in compassion, living without the need for there to be hate and fear. And if you can do any or all of that, then you've done something amazing for your children, and you've made something in this world, maybe an oasis. Maybe your children would be interested in serving humankind and helping them and teaching them about remorse, kindness, mercy. These are the things that are more important than anything else that you teach your children. And you only have a short period of time in their lives to get this through to them before the culture, the society just infatuates them and then engulfs them and poisons them with all sorts of moralistic beliefs that people abide by without ever really knowing it. I don't know what your definition of moral is. Mine is love. Simple love. And I find the simpler I get, the more love I can feel inside, the more my livingness, promotes love. Teach them that the lifestyle that they have must come from the heart of their being, that creativity, compassion is more important than anything else, and then serving humankind in that way in all sorts of various forms. Teach them that every day is a chance to help another person. Every day, a chance to serve and help another person one way or another, showing them what kindness can do, what patience can be, what forgiveness is, and what mercy, authentic mercy, can do for the world. If you can live and teach any of that to your children, you have done really well. really well. But if you teach them, like most parents do, how to get what you want and get yours before anyone else gets yours, and that being ruthless and unkind and smart and clever about it all is the only way to live your life, well, then you've taken the pedestrian mentality to a new level. And you're going to find that there's a great deal of pain and sorrow in this lifetime and in this world, and that it's all due to how we live from within ourselves. We're very angry people. We're overpopulated. We're like rats. And there's always someone ahead of you on the street and someone behind you. And you're either honking your horn at the guy ahead of you, or the guy behind you is honking his horn at you. It's a very interesting predicament we've put ourselves in. Who'd have thought that sex and having children would be such a ruthless weapon upon ourselves and the earth we live in? Who'd have thought? I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. I hope that if you have a comment or a question, you'll post it up there at the top. Email me. Let me see how you feel. Maybe I can answer your question. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Who knows? Thank you for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste.